Morning, church family. It is good to see everyone here this morning. We're thankful for your presence, especially if you're a guest today, whether you're from out of town or from our community. We welcome you. We're glad that you're here. If you have any questions about our church family, we would love to meet you personally and talk to you about our church family. There is a guest services booth out in the gathering room right behind the worship center. And so after service is over, before Bible class, if you'll make your way there, I will be there and I'll be glad to help you in any way that I can. We are in a series called Prayer, The View from Our Knees. And this series is tied directly to a prayer initiative that all of us are a part of. And I pray that you and your family or maybe your friends are getting together and trying to work at equipping yourself to be a person or a family unit of prayer. I believe this is a huge part of who we are as the people of God, being people of prayer. And so that's why we're putting so much emphasis on it as we begin this new year. For me, it happens often. Really, it never fails. When I sit down to pray, there's always an interruption. Have you found that to be true for you? The dog needs to go outside. Fine. The kids wake up early and they're starving, of course, ready for breakfast. I feel my phone vibrate in my pocket. I can't help it. It's almost like Pavlovian's dog, right? Oh! It's an email. Somebody needs my help. And I think, oh, that'll just take a minute. So I go and I answer that email and I get another one and I answer that and I never make it back to the prayer time. Or perhaps you can relate with one of these scenarios that often happens to me. I start to pray and I find that my thoughts just scatter like dust. They take me in every direction. I think of a disturbing conversation that I had earlier that day. I recall an article that I read about ISIS. I remember an inappropriate advertisement that I saw on Facebook, and I'm reminded of the shame that I felt. I remember the 3 phone calls that I was supposed to make and didn't, and my mind is focused on anything but God in His presence. Can you relate with any of those? Martin Luther knew about the prayer doldrums as well. Listen to what he wrote. He said, "When I speak and pray to God by myself, 100,000 hindrances at once intervene before I get at it. And then the devil can throw all sorts of reasons for delay in my path. He can block and hinder me on all sides. As a result, I go on my way and I never think of it again. Let him who has not experienced this only try it. Resolve to pray earnestly, and no doubt you will see how large an assortment of your own thoughts will rush in on you and distract you so that you cannot begin aright." If you pray with any consistency at all, you will find that distractions will interfere. And so I just wanted to start this message with some practical help. I don't have any fantastic silver bullet answers, but I want to give us a couple of ideas for overcoming mental barriers when it comes to prayer, because if you're anything like me, we often try to use these as excuses to just forget it. What's the point? I always get interrupted. My thoughts always are about, and I can't focus. I can't concentrate. So I must not know how to pray. And that's just a lie from Satan. So I just want to give you some suggestions to hopefully help us as we resolve to be people that live with palms up. People who resolve to be a people of prayer. So here's the first thing. Get rid of all electronic devices and distractions. So you know what I've started doing? If I want to start my morning with prayer, I'll go out on the back porch and I'll leave my phone in the house. That way I don't hear the call. I don't hear the bell of Pavlovian's dog. I leave it behind. Or if you go on a walk, maybe you like to walk and pray. Don't take your phone with you. It will be okay. The world will not end if you do not have that in your pocket. Go into a computerless room. Don't take your iPhone and iPad with you and spend some time with the Lord. Here's the second thing. Take a notepad and pen with you. Get one of those little small notepads that fits in your pocket even, or just have a large one and take it with you if you're in a room. But if you go on a walk, something in your pocket. And if a distraction comes, oh, I knew I should have called that contractor this morning first. Just write it down, right? Capture that thought and write it down so that it doesn't bother you anymore. By writing them down, it in essence, doesn't nag at you. And you put it in the category of, I'll take care of that, just not right now. Here's the third thing. When appropriate, try to incorporate those distractions into your prayer time. For example, if you can't get your mind off of a global hate crime or a disaster, pray for the people that are involved in that. If you're thinking of a friend or a loved one who is sick or who is hurting, don't see that as a distraction. See that as an opportunity to pray for them. If you're worried about a deadline or a task or a person at work or whatever, just include that in your prayer time. In many cases, our distractions could be God trying to work in us to pray for whatever that is. And that's okay. Remember this, please remember this. Prayer is the key and Jesus is the door into the very heart of God. And so prayer and our walk with the Lord is about a relationship with Him. Never once will you find in Scripture that He expects us to have a flawless, perfect prayer journey. That's not the goal. The purpose, the primary purpose of prayer is just to spend time with the Lord, to be in His presence. And I believe that's Jesus' point in Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bible or your device with you this morning, open up with me to Matthew chapter 6. People often pray wondering if they're doing it correctly. Am I doing this right? Because it doesn't feel right. It doesn't sound like the prayers that I've often heard from the stage at church or growing up from the people I respected. Man, their prayers were just amazing, and I don't know how to say prayers like that. Am I saying the right words? Because it doesn't sound like the words that I've heard before. And what about my positioning of my body, the posture of my hands? Am I supposed to sit? Am I supposed to stand? Am I supposed to lie prostrate? I mean, all of those examples are in Scripture. And so which one am I supposed to do? I don't know. And we start to just overwhelm ourselves with all of these things of prayer. And I have a very deep theological insight this morning for all of us. Straight from the Lord. You ready? Chill. Just relax. We're in good company. Listen to these words from the Lord in Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth. That is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need before you ask Him. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. So what I believe we have here is Jesus condemning the posture of one's heart. Not the exact location of where someone might be praying. He certainly isn't forbidding public prayer, but He's being critical of showy, arrogant type of prayer. Hey, look at me. Listen. To me, listen to my prayers. Can you see my piety? How good I am. Jesus is saying, don't be like those hypocrites. Their reward has already been paid in full. Jesus isn't impressed with those who would choose to use meaningless verbiage in prayer, wordy prayers. In an effort to impress or to get the attention of others, or in this specific case, the attention of their pagan gods. You see, the people that Jesus is referring to were people of other religions praying to any god that might listen. And so they repeat the same prayers over and over again to this God or that God, and maybe someone will hear this prayer and answer it. Jesus is saying, don't be like those who just babble on and on, praying to whatever God that might listen. And so what I believe Jesus is telling us is here, pray from the heart. Pray from the heart. Take this principle with you. Think of God whom you are addressing, not of others who may be listening. Remember that as you pray. Your heart, your mind should be focused on God whom you're talking to, not others who may be listening. And that's true for public prayer, for small group prayer, when you're praying in the privacy of your own home. When God is our focus and nothing else, we should not waste time worrying about the rightness of our prayers. As far as I can tell, apart from the requirement to be authentic before God, bringing a humble and a contrite heart before God, there really is no prescribed way to pray. Each of us presents a unique mix of personality and outlook and training and gifts and weaknesses before God. As one of my mentors used to tell me, if you're praying, you're already doing it right. So whether we are praying in public on behalf of a group or in a private location, the main value to prayer is to speak from the heart. Just bring your heart before the Father. Now, with those things kind of set as a foundation this morning for this idea of, am I doing it right? Am I getting it correct? Many of us are still left tongue-tied. I mean, it's like we have met a celebrity, right? Have you ever met a celebrity in public and you're like, oh, there's so-and-so, and you walk up to him and you're like, hi, and you can't get anything else out because you're just kind of giddy about it and you're just kind of starstruck, right? Big eyes, all words have left you. Perhaps similarly in prayer, we approach God and we're tongue-tied. We don't know what to say, maybe to get his attention. We don't know what to say that would be correct in the presence of the King of Kings. We feel maybe intimidated or shameful or whatever it might be. And we ask questions like, how do I do this right? How do I get the attention of the Almighty? And we worry about how we pray. I want you to think about it this way. Think about young parents who have infants or toddlers and little elementary-aged kids. What if you were to go up and ask them, what is the right way for your children to approach you if they need something? If somebody were to ask me that question about my five-year-old, I would look at them like, what do you mean? What's the right way? If he needs something, he's going to come because I've done everything I know to do in my power. When I've been wrong, I've apologized to him. When he's hurting, I try to console him. When he's wrong, I try to correct him. I just want him to come, right? As a parent, I just want my child to feel like he can come, like I am available to him. And if that's the response of a human parent, how much more is the heart of God wanting his children to come before him? Just come. Just come. Come before me. Come to me. There really is no prescribed way to pray. Now, Jesus, in this Matthew 6 text, he does give a way to pray. In Luke chapter 11, in a similar type of situation, the same prayer that Jesus is offering here in Matthew 6, the disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. It's obviously there's something unique about your prayer relationship with the Father, so teach us to pray. And he gives them a way to pray. He didn't really give any specific rules. He just says, here's a way that you can pray. So in Matthew 6, starting in verse 9, we have some familiar words. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You see, Jesus offered this simple prayer that if you say it a couple of times to yourself, you can almost say it verbatim. Matter of fact, in my recovery experience in the groups, what? At the end of every group, we would stand and we would hold hands and we would say the prayer together, and we would all have our eyes closed. We didn't have the Bible open. We could recall it from memory. It's a simple prayer. It's one that we can remember. It's one that would lead us daily into the presence of God. And again, I just want to say, oftentimes we feel like sometimes it's a requirement to have these big $5 theological words when we go to God. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, when I grew up, I thought, well, I don't know what that man just said. He used so many big words. I have no idea. Dear Heavenly Father, you are omniscient, omnipresent. You are everywhere. And so, God, would you just implore upon us reconciliation, redemption through the propitiation of your Son, Jesus Christ. And that's fine. We can use those words, but we don't have to. We don't have to use verbiage like that to impress the Father. And what I want us to see today is that Jesus' prayer here in Matthew 6 teaches us to keep it simple. Three things, I believe, he says to us. Keep it honest. Keep it honest. Keep it simple. And keep it up. Keep it honest. Keep it simple. And keep it up. In Max Lucado's book, Before Amen, The Power of a Simple Prayer, he focuses on Jesus' prayer offered here in Matthew 6 and in Luke chapter 11, and he narrows it down to what he calls a pocket prayer. And I want to share some of that prayer with you this morning, some thoughts of mine around this idea of keeping prayer simple to equip us and to encourage us to pray, to not be intimidated about these thoughts of, am I doing it correctly? Am I saying the right words? No, let's be encouraged today just to go to God and spend time with him in prayer. Prayer is meant to be a guide on a path toward Jesus. It's not meant to be something that we master like algebra. Prayer is a journey that leads us on a path toward Jesus. So the first part of this simple prayer, again, reflective of the Lord's Prayer that we find, is just to say, Father, you are good. Father, you are good. And in that particular day, maybe you have some reflections from your heart that speak to that, that lean into that. And it may be a question, it may be a pain, it may be a hurt. Father, you are good, and so would you take care of me today? Would you hold me in your hands today? Or maybe you were full of joy and thanksgiving, and you say, Father, you are good. Your love endures forever. From generation to generation, your love is never ending. And you just begin to quote scripture because he is good. One of my favorites is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're paraphrasing Paul. He says, you are the Father of compassion and of all comfort. When we are in trouble or when we are in want, your heart aches and you comfort us in our times of need. When we are joyful, Father, when we have all that we need, your heart smiles because you were good. And he is a good Father that equips us to help others then, the rest of the scripture says there in that first chapter opening, that through the comfort we have received when we come into contact with people who are hurting, we can share the comfort and the peace that we've received from the Father with them and minister to them. And it's all because he is good. Now the second part of this prayer is I need help. I need help. That's a very simple way, isn't it? To confess our need for God. And maybe you have a very specific confession that you need to take before the Father. You do that at this point of this simple prayer. We make mistakes. We seek forgiveness. And perhaps you confess this truth: the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Never will he leave me. Never will he forsake me. God, I need help. In the same vein, maybe just as important, we intercede praying, and they need help. I need help, and they need help. And this isn't some self-righteous, I'm better than them type of intercession. No, this is a genuine, sincere recognition and acknowledgement that just as I need the mercy and grace of God, so do others. Because Jesus' grace is for all. Just as he paid the price on the cross for forgiveness for you and for me, we admit that others are in need of the Lord too, whether it's a friend or whether it's a foe. Right? Jesus commands us in the Sermon on the Mount to pray for our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. And so whether it's a friend or whether it's a foe, we pray sincerely every day. And Father, they need help. I pray for whoever it is. Maybe you're angry with someone. Maybe there is a strain in your marriage. Maybe there's a strain in your close friendship with someone, and you want to pray for them. I know no better way to put some anger to rest than to pray for the person you're angry with. It's hard to be upset with someone when you're sincerely praying for them. And then to close this simple prayer, we should say thank you. And thank you, Father. It's so vitally important, I believe, to keep an attitude of gratitude with the Father. Even in the midst of pain and grief and suffering, we still find joy in the Lord. We still have hope in the redemption that we have in Jesus. And so I would just say that any time that we're praying, any time that the Spirit of God is working and we're in communion with the Father, there's thanksgiving, there's joy, there's gratitude. As the psalmist says in Psalm 100, we should always enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and into his courts with praise. This is a simple prayer worth remembering. Father, you are good. I need help. They need help. Thank you. Would you take that with you today? Is that a prayer that you can remember? It's a simple prayer, isn't it? It's even a prayer you can say in a conversation that you didn't know was coming, and you find yourself listening to someone you didn't know was coming, and you think to yourself, I can't help this person. You feel helpless. And even in the midst of that, you're sitting there and you're trying to listen. And a simple prayer like this can be so helpful as you sit there and you just say, Father, you're good. I need help, like right now. It's obvious they need help. Help us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may even find yourself repeating that as the person reveals something else, and then something else, and then something else, and it just begins to pile on, and the helplessness starts to pile up. And they look at you and say, well, what should I do? And the words that come out of your mouth next are not from you. Because you've been praying. And I believe the Spirit of God helps us in those situations. And so this is a prayer that is so incredibly helpful, and I pray you'll take it with you today. But then just real quickly, we still have this thought of, what if we are literally tongue-tied? There are no words. We cannot speak. I just want to close with this thought. It is okay to be silent before the Lord. Matter of fact, it is good to be silent before the Lord. I don't know what your experience is like, but in my prayer experience, sometimes God, He speaks clearly when I say nothing at all. And so I would just encourage you today to not feel ashamed or like you are spiritually immature because you don't know the words to say in your situation. Don't feel that way. Feel empowered today and encouraged by these words from Romans chapter 8. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And so as the Father and the Son search our hearts and minds, the Spirit of God who dwells inside of us speaks to the Father. He speaks to the Son in groans that words cannot express. You don't have words to express your situation. Be encouraged today because the Spirit of God is speaking for you to the Father. And you say, well, preacher, how does that work? I have not a clue. But I am comforted greatly to believe it and to know that God is at work through His Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. And so in those moments, we should know, we should hold to the promise that the Holy Spirit of God is in our hearts and minds speaking to the Father on our behalf. And so maybe, just maybe, being tongue-tied or being a person that just offers simple words to the Father is not a sign of spiritual immaturity. It's not a sign that I don't know how to pray or I don't know how to do this correctly, but it is an indication of great wisdom and communion with the Father. And so I pray that you are encouraged today to go and to spend time daily in prayer with your Father and with your Lord and Savior, knowing that the Spirit of God is helping you on this journey. And today there is a simple word from Jesus yet again for those who are weary and heavy laden. Those who feel burdened by the cares and pains of this world. If you have never said yes to Jesus and surrendered, given your life to Him, Jesus says, come. Come to me. If you feel overwhelmed and burdened by the cares of this world, come to me and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. So come to Him this morning if you need Him. If you need encouragement, if you need prayer, let us assist you. Let us minister to you on the Lord's behalf. And let's be encouraged this morning. You can respond now as we stand and sing together.